Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Napa Know-How. At Napa Auto Parts stores and Napa Auto Care centers, get a $25 prepaid Visa card when you get any Napa Automotive battery. It's the best deal for some of the best batteries from some of the best car people around. But we might be a little partial. Anywho, pick up any Napa Automotive battery and save $25. Do it yourself or have it done for you. That's Napa Know-How.
Napa Know-How.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores and Napa Auto Care centers, while supplies last, offer ends 8/31/20.
That Lil Chico Pitbull, Mr. 305, but it said Mr. Worldwide. You already know what it is. Listen to my new podcast, From Negative to Positive. Subscribe today. Now, part of the things that we're doing over here at Negative to Positive is encouraging people to change their lives, change the things that are within their power. I want to thank our good friends at KFC for helping me bring this to you. Feed your whole crew with KFC. Let's go. I can get the KFC bucket of chicken, and you know, that's fire. Now, Babo, you know that. You could get that mac and cheese, that mashed potato, gravy, those biscuits. Now that's trouble right there. That is fire right there. You know, on Negative to Positive, we always talking about striving and achievement. And the Colonel Sanders story is a story that inspired me since I was 10 years old. Look how our life comes full circle. Now I'm talking about Colonel Sanders and Kentucky Fried Chicken and how much I love it. Listen to my new podcast, From Negative to Positive. Check out the vodcast. Subscribe today. Apple Podcast, Podcast One, Spotify.
Hey everyone, this is John Rocha from Collider. By now you've likely heard about Disney Plus, the new streaming service that includes Disney, Pixar, Marvel, Star Wars, and National Geographic. With all of these amazing brands in one place, Disney Plus is one of the most incredible libraries in the entire streaming landscape, and it's all ad-free. From beloved classics like Snow White and the Seven Dwarves, to today's blockbusters like Captain Marvel and Avengers Endgame, to critically acclaimed documentaries like National Geographic's Free Solo, the content on Disney Plus is truly unparalleled. Disney Plus also offers some of the most beloved TV shows of all time, including 30 seasons of the Emmy Award-winning animated series The Simpsons. And if that weren't enough, Disney Plus has also rolled out a host of originals like The Mandalorian, the first ever Star Wars live-action series, and High School Musical, The Series, a very meta take on the beloved film franchise. It's no wonder Disney Plus has become one of the most talked about streaming services of 2019. So don't miss out. Sign up for Disney Plus now and start streaming all this great content today.
Napa Know-How.
This month, Napa's got all kinds of motor oil deals that can save you some serious cash. Like a 5-quart jug of Napa Full Synthetic Motor Oil for just $16.49. With savings like that, you may start feeling like a VIP. But don't let it go to your head. These oil deals are for everyone. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know-How.
Napa Know-How.
General States pricing. Sales prices not include applicable state local taxes or recycling fees. Offer ends 8/31/20.
It's that Lil Chico Pitbull, Mr. 305, better said Mr. Worldwide, and I'm here to tell you about my new podcast, From Negative to Positive, brought to you by my friends over at State Farm. I believe that to have success, you got to play the game so that the game doesn't play you. You know, the biggest risk you take is not taking one. It's very important that you make sure that you make the most out of your money, especially when it comes to insurance. State Farm offers surprisingly great rates. They have great agents standing by helping you personalize your coverage. All this is backed up by award-winning, easy-to-use technology. It's a great price with an even greater service. When you want the real deal, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
John Rocha and Matt Nost are here to bring you the top 10.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Top 10 Show here. On Collider Live. Oh, Collider. I shouldn't say Collider Live. Collider. I'm in the Collider Live studio. We're in the Collider Live studio. Yes. I am John Rocha.
I am Matt Nost. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I don't understand why our top 10 logo isn't up on the thing. I'm going to blame Cody for that. But
it's a two-shot, John.
Yeah, it's a two-shot. It's a static. Fine. I agree. I would agree with you.
Right.
Son of a bitch, he said he was leaving, and now he's going to sit in there. I don't have zero problem with you chiming in, but at the same time,
I'll be here to defend myself.
Maybe,
when necessary.
Look, why don't we swivel this in and just every once and again? Can we get this on some sort of animatronic little
absolutely
kick
That's
out?
Easy.
You know?
Yeah,
every as much as we want. There's like a little button we can do plugs and stuff. Yeah, just pop it in right there.
It's perfect. Are these mics in the camera, Cody? Are these mics in the camera?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's a two-shot.
I'm going to put them down.
Okay, well, it's a professional show that we run here. Welcome to the top 10 on Collider.
I'm John Rocha.
I'm Matt Nost.
For those of you who are listening to us for the first time, taking a chance on us on the Collider Live YouTube feed, welcome. For those of you who've been with us for a while, welcome back.
Yes, we thank all our longtime listeners, yes, and new listeners, everybody that's out there, all our patrons. Mm-hmm. And today is a patron show. And yes, we also have shout outs at the end of this. So we will do that. Did he change it? Dude, that is the laziest change.
That is the laziest. I mean,
laziest. Hold on, let me put these back on.
The worst change.
The laziest change.
Look at the cut to the wide shot.
For those of you here, there it is. Look at how terrible this
is. So we're like plugging everybody else's stuff as if we need sponsorship on this show just to get our logo shown.
Ooh, Jesus.
Or we're making some money on the side. Are we getting some little
piece? I don't think the
piece?
Witching hour has to go through this, for God's sakes. Anyway, all right. Well, back to the two shot. Thanks so much, as we said, for coming aboard this train to the top 10. Today we are counting down the best single location movies. This
correct.
This is a request from one of our patrons.
This is from one of our patrons. Mm-hmm. I pull up the email right now, and I can tell you that. So you want to vamp for me for 2 seconds?
Yeah, sure. If you want to be part of one of our patrons, you go to www.patreon.com/the top 10 number 10. There, see all the multiple tiers you can donate at. Well, our top tier is the Boss Hog tier. Those are the people who get to select a topic for us. We try to do at least one a month from that list of people who are donating at that level. So if you want, there's multiple tiers to donate. You get multiple things. So if you want to become a patron, you can. But this is a patron-inspired topic for today. Select
correct.
Topic.
From David Mitchell Baker.
David Mitchell Baker, DMB.
And to all the people that submitted, like we liked a bunch of the different – I'll take this off since Cody's not going to be in there now.
Yeah, yeah.
We liked a ton of different choices. Mm-hmm. Hasso had one and one only, and I liked it. I don't want to say it was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I liked it.
We always pick Hasso, though. He's got to take a little break sometimes.
Well, we pick a lot. We pick David before we pick – you know. We try and spend – it just comes down to best idea.
True.
So whichever one jumps out the most at us, and we're like, you know, we've never done anything like that, or it's been a really long time, or uh-huh, whatever the case is.
Uh-huh.
And this one's a great idea.
It's almost tough, though, too, because, like, I'm trying to figure out, does single location mean mostly in this location? Does single location mean occasional? Do flashbacks count as not single location? Those kinds of things.
I would say no.
Yeah, I would agree. I agree.
I tried to, because I excluded some. It's like, there's one that's super long. And, yes, technically they spend 85% of the time in this one location.
Uh-huh.
The other 15% ends up being, like, 28 minutes of this movie or whatnot, and you're elsewhere. It's a long movie, but like, I realize that almost all this movie you're here, but at the same time, you do go elsewhere to me.
Is
in my
German
head.
Movies? That you're
perhaps. Perhaps. With the champagne and the campaign and before they leave, and then the British Navy or whatever they run into eventually, and then at the very end.
Yeah.
It's like those, especially the end, like that. The end is part of it for me.
Yeah.
But I won't fight you. We both love the movie.
We do. I had to also exclude it for that because I had to go back and remember.
Me too.
Sometimes I have to go and read the synopsis on Wikipedia or IMDb to remember that there are other scenes.
Specifically.
Blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
Or what jumped out. That's why I think it's my number 9. I'm like, okay, it's from memory a lot of it because it's been a while.
Yeah,
but you'll see why.
Yeah.
You'll agree with me.
Will I? Oh, yeah. I like that.
Well, no, just confidence. In that. It's been a couple of years. Like that sentiment.
Right. Fair enough.
But yeah, no, it's a totally fun list. And thank you to David Mitchell Baker. And we will read your list at the end of the show.
Yes, we will.
We'll do the whole the paragraph before and your list at the very end of the show. But thank you. Thank you to everybody that supports us. And that's why we're doing the shout-outs at the end of the show.
Yep.
And it's our thanks to our patrons once a month at the $5 up and level on top of the whatever else we give to you at those levels.
Yeah.
We are happy to say thank you on air. And we do that at the end of every month.
Yes, we do.
And so we will be getting to that at the end. So hopefully you guys stay and listen to all these gorgeous names. They all sound handsome and beautiful every time they just roll right off the tongue.
How are you, man? How are things?
I'm good. I'm good.
You got a lot of energy right now.
Well, I'm starting to, bit of pep from this.
Oh,
yes. A little coffee going my way.
You're revving into it.
It's a murky day outside, and it's nice to have a nice, nice warm cup of coffee.
This is my kind of day. I love these days. I hate the sun.
I love it because I live here.
Right, because it's occasional that it happens.
Exactly.
Right.
It's great when it's like, oh, look at this fun inconvenience. If this was 5 out of 7 days given certain times a year.
Oh, yeah.
You like, this aggravated. Isn't – well, it's just gray and overcast and constantly gloomy.
Yeah.
And it has an effect. I've lived in that environment before. It just does.
Yeah.
And out here, it's like, hey, man, sunshine, mother – you know, it just about 300 and
– burn, bitch!
Yeah, 340 days a year.
Yeah, and the valley is strange for that. Like, the morning is okay, and then all of a sudden, at like 12 or 1, it's like Satan's asshole. It's like so goddamn hot.
Certain times of year, yeah.
Yeah, it's brutal.
We didn't have the random, this is weather talk about Los Angeles. Here we go, top 10. Hey, thanks for watching.
It's our tangents,
yeah. We normally have that week. It's prolonged about 7 to 10 days towards the end of October.
Where
it jumps into random. We got to 103 out of these 5 days.
Right.
And we didn't have that this year. We had some 90s, right. Like low to mid 90s.
But we're also extending out longer than usually. It's colder by now in mid-November. November.
Today's the first day.
Today's the first day we actually felt a little bit of coldness, right?
Yeah.
So now I've noticed it starts happening later and later, like late December or January it starts to get cold, or even sometimes February where it becomes consistent for a few days.
Hey, it's been up and down.
Frustrating.
I've lived out here when it's been so cold in December.
Yes,
me
too.
We're not accustomed to it living out here.
Yeah.
Mind you, I've lived through Illinois' coldest winter.
Mm-hmm.
I've lived through some cold, you know? And it was still, because you get acclimated to, I just wear light layers type of thing, and you can always get by with that. And it was, got almost to freezing, if not to freezing.
Yeah.
One, two nights. I was like, dude, this is cold. Like, this is freezing cold for LA. Yeah. I don't have the clothes for this, because this does not happen.
Yeah.
I had a leather jacket. That was the best I could do, and just sweatshirt underneath it. And, but yeah, it last year came later, and it was mild.
Yeah. Has Catherine started putting the heater in front of her body yet?
No, it went out. We had to turn it off to move a gas line.
Oh.
And then we had to relight it. So this is a...
Oh, shit.
The manual on it is this metal plaque, the placard type of thing. It's such so inconveniently placed, right? So it has three things you can switch it to,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah,
but all it is a long,
yeah,
probably 2 foot long metal rod that's about... 1.5 times the fat end of a chopstick, right?
Oh, okay.
But in a cubed, like elongated rectangle,
right,
like
right,
just
right.
going down. So it's got four sides. And you have to push it down and move it to get it to the other spots.
Oh,
and
shit.
It wouldn't turn to on. So eventually we figured it out. But even to light the pilot light, I had to buy the long matches and then tape two of them at their ends so you get one long enough to light the pilot. It is the bottom of this stinking boiler. Because our charming house was built
in 1910,
in 1938,
when people had longer arms. Or something.
I don't know.
They had that machine, they had little things.
Or maybe they just were dumb enough. They just turned the gas on for a while and just throw matches at it. I don't know, but it's a technology that has been, you know, it's still legal.
Yeah, sure,
but
sure.
It doesn't just kick out gas. There are, you know, governors on it, and you have dials to turn. You turn that down and whatnot. But
I'm sure I'm not the only one. But like people, sometimes I have had to watch YouTube videos about how to turn on the pilot light, depending on what furnace or what.
Yeah.
It's mind blowing how many different types of furnaces there are. And you know, like you have to click that thing, and then you have to hold it, or you have to keep it there for 10 minutes or whatever, and then you have to go inside and try to. Those long extending lighters. Those are the ones I've used to light.
I bought
sometimes.
Those. They didn't work. They weren't long enough.
Oh shit! Those weren't long enough.
No, that's why. To take so the match is as long.
This scares me. Like you blow your hand off fucking doing that.
No, because there's so little gas coming out. You turn it to pilot mode, and then pilot mode is just like a slow release of gas to get the flame going. It's not like it's gushing out.
Fucking there will be blood.
I don't know. You know when the house was built. This is obviously they bought this thing. It was probably in the 40s or 50s.
Yeah.
It's maybe the 60s, but it looks old. It works. We're happy.
Fair enough.
But
fair
got
enough,
it, finally got it lit right when we didn't need it. It got warm again.
Yeah.
And then now, thankfully, like today, we actually had it on during the day before I left the house.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
We don't do it. We don't turn it. I told her we don't turn the heater on because I burn hot. So to me, I'd rather bundle up when it's cold than to turn the heater on. So she has a portable heater. I'm talking about my girlfriend. My girlfriend has a portable heater that she carries around from room to room and puts distinctly in front of her body.
Yeah.
And during and we're reversed because during summer, I will carry around a portable air conditioner that I put in front of my body because she doesn't like to have the AC on because she gets too cold. So I have to carry the AC around this unit.
Okay.
And we'll leave the windows open, but I have to have it on my body. I'll even sleep with the AC unit on my body, one of those portable ones, because that's the only way. But I have to angle it so that none of it hits her.
Oh, yeah.
Because she gets so upset if anything hits her.
During the summer, I've gotten her to my side to think of, like, let's get it cold in here because then you wrap up in the sheets and it feels really comfy.
It's nice.
And, so long as, you know, you got a small bedroom.
Yeah.
You put it on Econo mode, and it gets it up to speed, and then it just only kicks on every once and again, and you don't feel as bad because you don't feel like you're just wasting electricity for your own comfort.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've had that argument with myself about all kinds of things. Oh, I'm so good about all this other stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
This is my
thing. Balance.
Yeah, it outweighs. Hopefully, fingers crossed. But I do what I can.
Yeah, yeah.
I take out the trash.
Recycle. Yeah, I've taken stuff to the dump and like organized it out.
Yeah.
Whatever. This has got to go to this side, and I have to declare this and pay extra for that. Don't have a problem with that, even though you're probably going to take most of the rare earth minerals that are in that and whatnot and spin it and make some money yourselves. But you're dealing with trash, so you do what you got to do.
Yeah. Can I tell you what's going on in my world, man?
Sure. Sure.
I'm super frustrated because my headphones, my Bose headphones, my cherished Bose headphones that I've had for 2 or 3 years now.
Yes.
And I've had replaced a couple of times because the left ear goes out on them. My most recent pair, I took to Australia. You know, I went to Australia last week for a couple days, 3 days. And when I came back in the Uber, I was so just kind of out of it from the plane ride that I left my headphones in the back of the Uber. Because I had taken them. They were on my neck.
Sure.
And I had taken
this
them
has to
off.
Happen all the time.
Yeah, right. Because I always have them on. Yeah. Always. So I took them off from my neck, and I was just like – and it's a Chinese driver. I could tell from his phone. The Chinese was on his phone. He had a hard time understanding me about where to go. Like he's driving it using the Waze.
Okay.
But by the end, I'm like, oh, great. He was very nice. Took out my suitcase. Everything's great. Putting my stuff away, what have you. Halfway
put
down
your stuff away.
Yeah, like he would take my.
Just, now I'm picturing him like he opens your suitcase, like he walked you into the house. He's putting my stuff away. I think he earned those headphones, man. I think
it was incredible that he knew which drawer was what.
Yes, it just intuitively somehow you guys were in sync, and he's like, "I'm good with that." And then he saw that you were in sync too, and you left him a nice pair of headphones.
I did. No, but like it was so frustrating because he moved my bag, everything got moved in there, and then I tried to when I realized I was halfway down the road, and so when I got to the house, I put away my stuff, and then I tried to contact my driver. They say that on the Uber app. Try to contact.
Sure.
And it said, you've reached your maximum number of calls. Try again in an hour. The driver's not available. Mm-hmm. Okay. So in an hour, same message. The first time I tried to get him number to send a message.
Sure.
Same message. So by the third time, the same message came up. Then I tweeted at Uber and Uber support. And they said, we're going to handle it. Don't you worry about it. We'll handle it. We'll get on top of it. 24 hours later, what's the update? What's going on? We've assigned it to this person. Four different people were assigned this case for them to come back at me on Tuesday and say, and this is, we're recording this on Wednesday, to come back at me yesterday and say, the driver claims he doesn't have your headphones, so that's it. What the F? This is a $300 pair of headphones.
True, but you can't prove that you left them. Type of thing. I don't know. They could, if they wanted to, probably hide behind that. There has to be some sort of modest insurance within that.
Yeah. I don't know. Am I allowed to
bully them on Twitter? Yes. Do it. Go.
Am I allowed to bully them on
Why
Twitter?
Why not? If it means that much to you.
Okay.
There's only one person that can answer that, and that's you.
I guess
is it
so.
Worth it?
Yeah. To get those headphones back or at least some kind of compensation, that would be worth it. Because the fact that it took them three days to get in touch with a driver and get a message, that's ridiculous.
The outlaw I know doesn't stand for that, you know? He's a man of action. He would have a plan
Don't
being
push
put
me.
In his place.
You're right. Don't push me.
A military man. Look, has a step-by-step.
I already reached out to a friend of mine that works at DMV, and I thought to myself,
what is the DMV going to do?
I was going to forward him the license plate number
the
and then get the information and then go knock on the dude's door.
This is why, just because you got a friend at the DMV, they can't do that.
Yeah, I know. I know they can't do that. But I said, like off hours, I texted him, and I was like, hey, is this possible? He's like, if you want to give me another job, absolutely possible. Don't even sweat it. Do you have another job you can give me? And I was like, no. He's like, then it can't be done.
Yeah, this isn't
a movie, yeah, right?
Yeah. You're not a cop that I've known, and now you need to run a plate or something, but you got to do it on the hush-hush.
Can I wear a cop's uniform, walk into a DMV, and ask for—
No, you cannot impersonate a police officer in public and get special privilege? No. That's a crime, John. That is a crime.
What if it's Halloween? And they couldn't
I'm sorry. It's still a crime. Because of the motivation of the character, albeit a character.
Yeah, true, a character.
Your motive is the only thing that matters. I wish you could hide behind the artifice of, I was acting. But
thank you.
You believed it. Finders keepers, though, on this $20,000. So,
son of a bitch, man, I'm mad. I'm mad. Those headphones are precious to me. It's ironic because I bought the 400s. The 700s. The new ones.
Sometimes life hands you an L.
I know.
You can't blame yourself.
I got to go book another job. That's what it means. Fucking hell. I'm just mad.
You were out, you know, fucking air, you know, jet flying.
Uber riding,
iPhone having, house on the big hill, outlaw baby.
Wear my headphones.
Who would love to have a Ric Flair moment? I wish there was a moment in my life where I could just do that, just go off on somebody, just walk out like everybody understood the reference that you that this guy gets it. That you know that lady over there, whoever knows Ric Flair, just woo, just walk out of the room.
I think if you had done it after we won the tag team titles in the Schmodown tournament, that would have mattered. That would have been the time.
I told Christian at
if
one
point.
If
we'd done it in a live event, that would have been the time.
I told him at one point, he's like, listen, is there any kind of budget that I could just do one thing? And I found a Flair robe, and it was like $120, $130, but it was nice.
Right.
For $120, $130.
Yeah.
And I was like, you want to cover this, and I will wear it. I'll shirtless. I will come out as Flair. I'll do it. And he's like, there might be. This was early on in Schmodown days.
Right.
I was like, I will full on. If you want to do this stupid wrestling thing, I will do this. At the very least, a couple times to make it worthwhile for having bought this. I will not abandon the premise if it doesn't work out of the gate.
I would have happily like ceded that kind of situation.
Why not? If we're going to really do this, have fun emulating.
Absolutely.
I didn't press him about it. It was just like, hey, what do you think about this? I found this on eBay.
Yeah.
It looks nice.
Who's selling Ric Flair robes?
Oh, there's
eBay?
All kinds. There's some that have been manufactured, whatever else, that maybe WWE at some point commissioned. I don't know.
Maybe. Or WCW, yeah.
And then there's some people that made their own.
Yeah.
And those are for sale. And some people want a lot of money for those.
I think if I ever go heel again in the Schmodown, that'd be great to walk out in one of those fucking robes. It's the outlaw in the back and all this. Oh, dude.
Got to go shirtless, bro. And you wear two shirts at all times.
I do. Because I'm ashamed of my body. I'll have to work out if I'm going to do
that.
Do
you wear two shirts to bed? It's like two undershirts.
No, I do wear one undershirt to bed.
Okay.
I wear underwear and a shirt. And my girlfriend, because she accepts me for who I am, and I don't feel shameful in front of her, I'm okay to wear one shirt. But we took videos last night because we're setting up a thing in my office to shoot something for the YouTube channel that I'm trying to build up, the other YouTube channel, because I have all this time.
Exactly. You need another project. Especially if you have to edit it and post it, do all the social media. You need another project.
I just can't stop. Anyway, we were taking shots of me and in a shirt, and I was just like ashamed of my gut. Just ashamed. I think this is.
I know.
I don't look terrible, but I feel like I look terrible. So it's a personal thing. I know. You claim about weight, and you have never looked overweight or remotely fat to me, but you within your body, because it's all perspective.
I still feel.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
It is. I have body dysmorphia, just like a lot of people do.
Yeah, we do. We fucking do.
I love it. 20-something minutes into the show. Just body dysmorphia is the conversation we're having.
One last question. Anyway, if anybody works for Uber or works for...
yes, Bully Pullman. Use it.
For Bose and his Hyatt man can help me in this situation. I'd really appreciate
it. Bose.
If any of our listeners work for Bose, give me a massive discount on the Q30 352s.
Just casting life preservers out there. Anybody? Anybody?
I'll promote it. I'll give you love. I'll follow you on Twitter, whatever you want. I just want those QZ352s.
Do you even know the code?
Yeah.
So,
of course. The model number, of course.
Of course.
Black ones, please. All right. One last thing. Have you started watching The Crown yet?
Yeah. 4 episodes in.
I'm 2 in.
Okay.
Are you liking it?
Yeah.
I'm liking it.
Yeah.
Right?
It's good.
I want to see her become more active. I imagine that's going to happen as the episodes go along. The first two, she's a little bit like kind of reacting to what's happening around her, and I want her to start taking more decisive action as it goes along. So
yeah, but that's kind of her world at this point.
Yeah, right, isn't it?
The monarchy is just a reaction. It's not It's not pushing any of the action within societal understanding on that level. Like they're not pushing political policy. They're not waging wars.
Yeah.
They're not inflicting taxes, and other than the taxes they're trying to get from the people to subsidize their lifestyle, it still doesn't make sense to Americans. But whatever, if
you
taxpayers want to pay for that, I guess you can do whatever you want to with your money.
True.
So the reality of it gets into, I think it's the third one.
Oh, really?
That one's really good.
I told my girlfriend she's going away tomorrow night. I told her I'm moving on ahead because she hasn't even watched the first two seasons. She watched a few episodes of the first season, but it was kind of slow for her.
Okay.
Slow burn for her, so she wasn't 100% behind it. But we started together last night because I think you can jump in right now. You can absolutely jump in right now.
Sure.
You don't need to necessarily know that much about the first two seasons. But if you know historically the story, you're
even
fine.
The settings are all – national or international.
Yeah.
And they're all true.
And you get the relationships from the beginning. Like the issue between Margaret and Elizabeth, the issues with her husband, the issues with Margaret's guy. All of that is laid out.
Ever-changing dynamic of who am I, what am I, what's my purpose, what's my goal.
Exactly. It's all there. So it was seamless. So anyway, if you haven't watched The Crown, recommend it to all of you who are maybe hesitating watching it on Netflix. All right, let's get into this thing. Let's jump into it, Matt. What do we do here?
Once we set a topic, or David Mitchell Baker, and thank you, sir, once again for having done that, set the topic. We went our separate ways and created personal top 10 lists, showed back up here in camera. I'm doing this. Straight to you, buddy. First, we do our bottom three. Pardon me. I do my bottom three. He does his bottom three. I do my next two. He does his next two. Then we trade one apiece. Once we have revealed our personal top 10 list, we create the shows between the two of us.
Boom.
Jumping right in.
Let's do it.
So I tried to honor as much as the singularity of they were at one specific location for the vast entirety, if not the entire movie.
Agreed.
And that's why my nine, it's like, I don't know. 10 for me is Locke.
That's my nine.
Okay.
Yeah, good movie.
It is. I don't know how much I'm going to go back to rewatch it.
No, but you can appreciate it for what
exactly.
it was.
Exactly. Yeah. That's why it's 10.
Yeah.
It's not bad. It's just like it was really interesting, and Tom Hardy pulls it off.
Yes.
And it's a dude in a car.
Yep.
And it is fully engaging the entire time as you see this man juggling all these balls, and will they crash to the ground or will they not?
Yeah.
Between his family, his job, and his side hustle, so to speak, the one-off occurrence. Tom Hardy is, you know, he's great.
He's excellent, and it's full of if you go on the cast list and you see the incredible amount of actors they got to come
for voiceover.
Voiceover.
Tom Holland comes on as his son at the end. And you're like, Tom Holland, what in the world?
Yeah,
but you hear it, and you're like, it's unmistakable.
It's fascinating to see, and the way they're telling the whole story while he's driving in the car. Mm-hmm. Everything is happening while he's driving in the car.
Yeah.
It's not like 6 hours later or anything like that. It's legitimately the whole thing's happening. He's driving in the car. There's an inciting incident at the beginning of the movie, near the beginning of the movie, and that's what escalates everything. You find out why he's in the car, where he's going, why he's going to where he's going, and then you get a window into his business, you get a window into his relationship, you get a window into his other relationship, and you get a window into who he is as a human being and both sides of it, both good and bad.
Mm-hmm.
And by the end, you're like, well, and then it just ends. And you're like, God damn.
Yep.
It was just a window into this
snapshot.
And then boom, it was closed.
Yeah, it was perfect.
Yeah.
Just a snapshot. Just
yeah.
We start at point A, and he's already moving. He's on the road.
Yeah.
And you know this from the trailer. And the best part is we haven't said what this movie's about. We can just talk about the overall arching structure because we can't ruin it.
No.
He's in the car.
But yeah, that's what you need to know.
Legitimately, he's in the car, and it's fully engaging. It's all Tom Hardy of seeing him mentally kind of scramble and the fights he has.
Yes, which are great.
Yeah, which are great.
Yeah.
Good for him. It's a really good movie.
And he's sick.
So on top of that, he's dealing with
everything else. Yeah.
Well, it's the stress leading up to this day. That's why he's sick.
Yeah. Right.
His body is just tired, and he's gotten to this point. Everything's unraveled. He knew it the whole time. He just couldn't figure out how to do it beforehand. He
couldn't stop it. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. What's your number nine?
Nine is my question.
Okay.
Misery.
Oh, I think. Damn, that's tough.
I don't like. So, how long does it take them before they get back? And then they're there until at the very end, when they're at that restaurant. He asks for the bottle of water, whatnot.
Yeah.
They're there for, but I don't remember how long. In my mind, it doesn't seem like it's that long until they get there.
Yeah, I don't think it is because he's driving the car.
Yeah.
So he's. I think it starts with him.
Is it him just straight driving the car?
Straight driving the car, like through the credits and the window and the snow. I think it's all of that. And then you like get the idea of what's happening. I think there might be a beginning scene with Lauren Bacall at the beginning, and then an end scene with Lauren Bacall in that way.
Okay.
But I don't remember.
I don't remember either.
Yeah, but I no lie. I legitimately watched maybe 4 or 5 days ago. Watched the last half an hour of the movie randomly on one of the channels. It's good, man.
You know it is.
That battle between them at the end is
psychological terror throughout.
Yeah, of course.
Of this just unhinged character.
Yeah,
and Kathy Bates. You believing every second of him. I mean, she hobbles him.
Yeah.
That is one of the realest. The realest.
That's in the top three, isn't it?
What do you mean?
Like top three moments in film where it felt authentically real.
Oh, of that kind of palpable violence?
Yes. Like the curb stomping in American History X.
Yeah, good call.
Right? The ankling. And then what else?
She hobbles. There's got to be others.
Yeah.
Where someone just gets maimed so brutally and you watch it.
Yeah. You're just like, oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So just for its memorable nature, it's a deviation from a lot of what else is on my list.
Mm-hmm.
And the single location using it for more terror. I guess there's some of that a little bit later, I guess, on some level.
Mm-hmm.
So to amp it up. But It's a damn good movie. I just couldn't remember that opening little bit right there. Yeah. So does it qualify? I believe it does because memory serves. They just jump right into this thing. Yeah. But it's been a while since I started from point A. Mm-hmm. I've caught it over the years on whatever and just kind of watch it out through to the end. I hope I'm after the hobbling usually when I come in.
Oh, yeah, because the hobbling is rough. Uh-huh.
I will watch it. I won't turn away type of thing. Yeah. If it comes up and be like, well, you agreed to this. You knew it.
I turn and just hear the screams. I can't watch it. It drives me nuts. I'm no good with that kind of stuff on film. I don't mind overall violence. Like you could shoot people up all you want when I'm watching a movie.
Oh, yeah.
The second you slice someone's like gut open or something, I just go, I can't fucking deal with it. It's too local. I just can't deal with it.
But the Stallone is Rambo, and Rambo, when he's using the machine gun, and people are getting chopped in half at like the femur, and it comes – so then his leg comes just flying out of direction. That would have been a good like 3D movie.
Yeah. Good point. Would Hilary Swank's in Million Dollar Baby when she breaks her neck, is that one that feels like
single? Oh, brutal?
Yeah.
Yeah?
That feels real, right? Because you can hear the crack when she hits that fucking chair.
Yeah, but at the same time, the hobbling in American History X feel more real.
Yeah, that's you're right.
They really do. Hers is bad. I'm not taking anything away from it. Those seem vicious.
Yeah, good point.
There's, you know... The devil's inside you when you did that type of thing. You know? El muerto.
Oh, no. El diablo. No, otra vez. All right. What's your number eight? Yeah?
My number eight is Ex Machina.
Oh, nice choice, man.
Because they're out of the house.
That counts.
Yeah, they're at his house.
Damn. That's a great choice. You know what? Fuck it. I'm moving. I'm going to put that on my list.
All right.
I'm going to put that at number 10. That's fair.
I mean, it's a big house.
Yeah.
It has a lot of different flavors.
Yeah.
But they're
okay.
At his house.
That's a good point. I had something else at number 10. I'll happily say what it is, but I think that's the one, man. That's a great choice. All right. I'm changing it now.
Yeah, dope movie. We've talked about it a bunch of times. It's come up recently on a number of shows.
Yes. Oscar Isaac, Alicia Vikander, Domhnall Gleeson. Mm-hmm. This whole idea of what is life, what isn't life, this whole idea of what responsibility do you have for things you create. And also the idea of like, well, it's a sentient thing that can figure you out, starts to figure out. Once it does, you know, your ideas of morality are relevant to an AI.
Yeah.
Right.
It doesn't enter into the calculation.
Mm-hmm.
I have a goal.
Yes.
I will achieve my goal.
I will adjust tactics to achieve my
goal. Yes, but I have an ultimate purpose on this end. And then once you'd assume if it's smart enough to do that, then once it sets that goal, it creates another goal.
Yeah.
And agreed. Just continues to build and learn and figure out how to beat us. I get your fear.
Of course you get my fear. It's logical fear.
I just don't – it's not feasible. I just don't – ultimately, I don't see it happening. I really don't.
You really don't think we're ever going to achieve AI?
We will.
Okay.
Do you think
we'll control it?
We'll put in some sort of fail-safe that ultimately it can't succeed, like a simple kill switch. You know? It's just in a room that is unguarded by any modern technology out in the middle of nowhere in the desert, you know, Area 51 type of thing.
Yeah.
There's no computers for miles. Nothing. They took it out of the base.
But something's got to connect the thing to the computer, right? That's why the EDM thing works because it can't be – it's not whatever it's called, the EMP.
Yeah.
EMP.
Electromagnetic pulse.
You're right. That works because it's not attached to the actual system. If you have a kill switch that's attached to the actual system, then the AI can short circuit that kill switch from working. If you have an EMP, that's different.
I'm saying ultimately you could just – its power source comes from one thing.
Yeah.
And you put it on a switch in the middle of nowhere and be like, you cannot get power. We will not allow you to have power any other way type of thing.
All right.
This is where you're – I don't know. We'll figure out some sort of – that may not make logistical sense ultimately, but I don't see us going, dude, Pandora's box opens pretty easy. You know what I mean? Let's just – yeah. Oh, man, that's crazy.
Oh, shit.
I think everybody going into it, I hope, is fully aware of the negative possibilities for us as an inefficient life form in its eyes. I get it.
It's wearing my skin as a Halloween costume. This is not cool.
Don't know why it's vindictive against us. Doesn't seem in its nature if it's that cold just to wipe us out. But I don't know its motivations.
Yeah. I don't want to be farmed. That's my big fear.
Sure.
All right. So number 10 was Ex Machina. Number 9 is Locke for me. Number 8 is Rope.
Okay.
Yeah, I love that movie. Great Hitchcock film that I kind of discovered again. Going to see, because in L.A. you can go see old school movie, you can go see old movies mm-hmm. at theaters like The Egyptian or The Arrow, or sometimes they'll show them at the Arclight and stuff like that. Well, I kind of went on this Hitchcock binge a couple of years ago and tried to see all of them in the theater when I could,
yeah.
right? Because I didn't see a lot of them on TCM or whatever growing up. So I caught up on like Rear Window. I caught in the theater. All these kind of things I just caught in the theater. Rope was one of those ones that I kind of resisted because I wasn't sure, and it was colorized, so I was like, eh.
Yeah.
And then I watched it, and I was like, damn, this shit is tight. And it's all in one apartment.
Yeah.
And it's just a battle of wills between Jimmy Stewart and his two former students. And they've killed somebody, and that somebody is in the trunk, and they're trying to figure out who's telling the truth. They think they can just, like, gloat over everybody, these two guys, and then eventually Jimmy just kind of figures them out step by step.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, this is a really incredible thrill. All during a dinner party. During a dinner party. So...
Well, go out and watch it. I have seen, it's one of those I know facts about it.
Okay.
I've never seen it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Some incredible acting. It's not a long movie. I think it's an hour 30, hour 40. And these two dudes, one guy is kind of like the leader of the two guys who's making this all happen, who's the most arrogant. The other one is a little more nervous. Mm-hmm. I think they share a girlfriend, or the girl was with one of them but then went with the other guy currently. So there's that kind of stuff. And then people's parents are coming. And they invite Jimmy Stewart as their former professor to come hang out and be a part of this dinner party. But the whole time they want to be able to like tease Jimmy that something is happening mm-hmm. here. So they constantly are asking him questions. And then Jimmy catches on and he's like, okay. What is this all about? And then he starts to kind of turn the game as it's going along. You're just like, man, this is incredible. So if you haven't seen Rope, I highly recommend it. Fantastic taut thriller. All right.
Top-notch recommendation.
Top-notch. There we go.
No one's going to fight you on that.
It is a good movie. Yeah, go ahead. Here. What's your number seven?
My number seven is The Raid.
Okay, that's a punt.
Okay.
Yeah.
I had it at a different, and then I moved it down.
Do you have both of them or just –
No, the okay. first one. Raid Redemption.
Agreed. Yeah, Raid Redemption. Yeah, agreed. All right. What's your six?
My six is Die Hard.
Yeah, see, that's the one I had to take off my list.
Why?
Oh, because he rides in that car for a while before he gets to –
You think it's a while? Thing.
It is a while. I mean, for me, it's all perspective, right? Subjective, rather. For me, it feels like he's on there for a while. And then there's stuff going outside with the cop when he goes to the convenience store. There's stuff going outside and
true.
The helicopters. The other
true, true, true.
So that kind of pulls it away a little bit
and
for
that's
me.
Why –
But
know,
I won't fight you on it. I think it's a great choice. I wish I could have put it on.
It's the – was it – what is that guy's name? It was, you know, on Family Matters.
Yeah,
Reginald?
Yeah, yeah.
Is it
yeah,
Reginald?
Reginald Johnson.
John Val Johnson. There you go. That does pull you out of and dealing with the FBI agents.
Right. Johnson and Johnson.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But the singularity of him once he's inside – And it's set up.
Yeah,
it's so tied in with everything about it. Like to me, it is. It's the only. It's one of the few that I can think of places that I've been to that I know that the movie was shot there.
Yeah, yeah. yeah, yeah.
Just like oh, there's. We talked about it a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, there's Nakatomi Plaza.
Nakatomi.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's Die Hard. I don't. Know.
You're like, what can I say that hasn't been said?
I mean, who is watching us for the first time that's never seen a movie and was like, well, hold on, what, Die Hard? You know, that's out there.
Die Hard.
Wait, what is that?
Who is that a German film? Is that a French film?
Die Hard. I don't know. I don't know Germanic pronunciation. So somebody out there check me on that. But
wait, I got to look that up now. Die yeah. Hard in German?
Die Hard?
Die Hard!
Seems a little harsh.
this is a comedy show, by the way. Don't get all fucking offended either.
I'm not worried about it. Go ahead.
I'm
the one that said it. So if you were offended, that's fine. I'm more than willing to admit it was terrible. So I have zero problem with that.
The German translation of Die Hard is Sturb Langsam. Sturb Langsam.
Sturb Langsam. you know, can you do that with any Germanic phrase?
I think so.
That's unfortunate.
This is great. Look at the 10. This is a funny side. 10 really goofy German translations of famous movie titles. Dodgeball is straight in the balls. That's what it translates to in German.
Okay. What is it? Does it have the Germanic?
Oh, does it? Voll auf die Nuss. Straight in the balls. Animal House is called I Believe a Horse Kicked Me. Ich glaube, mich tritt ein Pferd. I'm sure I'm going to get so much shit for that. Airplane is the unbelievable journey in a crazy plane.
Nice. Not on the nose at all. The wild comedic adventure on a jet. Perfect.
Blades of Glory is translated to the Ice Princes.
That's good. Come on, that's good.
I like that. D or die, Ice Prinzen. Die, Ice Prinzen. What else is there? Oh, I guess that's it. That's funny stuff. I like that. Yeah, what else can you say about Dar? Yeah, I think Matt nailed it. There's so much.
But if you want to say the exclusion is too much, then maybe, you know, a case could be made.
You on it.
I know, but a case could be made.
It was just for me. And that was your six?
That was my six.
Okay, my seven is another Hitchcock film called Lifeboat.
Okay.
Yeah, if you haven't seen Lifeboat, it's a fantastic black and white film. I think it's late 30s, early 40s, right in the middle of World War II. And the film is about what happens when the Germans sink a boat, and the Germans, they sink the ship, mm-hmm. but in sinking the ship, the submarine that was used cracks as well, or whatever, it crashes into the boat. So the Germans spill out of the submarine, and the people in the boat spill off the boat, and they scramble onto a lifeboat. And
so a combination of the two?
Exactly. So it's like it's like this whole kind of psychological thing on the lifeboat. So everything happens essentially on the water and on the lifeboat. And they go back and figuring out who's doing what. And a couple of them are injured. And then it's like as this goes along. And the couple of the German guys start to like work people mentally. And like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. They initially play like they're victims. They were unwittingly part of the Nazi or whatever. I think it's Nazi or World War I, part of the German army. And it starts to turn. And you're just like, oh, shit. And Hume Cronin is in this. Mr. Cocoon.
Oh,
he's real young
okay.
in this film. And Charles Lawton is in this as well. But it's – I know William Bendix, the guy who played Babe Ruth in the old school film. This is a fantastic film that whenever it's on TCM, I will watch it for a little while because it's essentially theater because they're all in that lifeboat the whole time and you're trying to figure out who is trying to work. It's like Survivor mm-hmm. for an hour and a half. So that's what I would say. If you haven't seen it yet, it's so damn good. All right. I mean, you haven't seen it, so what
I haven't.
Discuss?
I but at the same time, it's one of those – it's a Hitchcock.
Yeah.
There's only so many, and everybody knows that both of those are good.
Yeah.
I just haven't for whatever. I've seen most of his others.
I think people come around to things as they come around to things when they're ready to. Yeah. That's the way I feel about movies. My number six is Moon.
That's Bunt.
Yeah, I figured.
Okay. I don't know what that look meant.
No, just that I knew it was – I knew I had it lower, and I knew you'd have it higher. That's all.
Okay.
Yeah.
So as some speculate out there, then that was a time that you were gaming the system to make sure that it ended up.
No.
I know.
But others
have
some people think
postulated that we would go, you know what? I'm going to devalue my own opinion just to fuck over the other guy. No, I'm sorry. This is still my opinion. It comes in at six.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Five. Before we get to my five, why don't we take a quick break and hear this note from our sponsors.
Wow, that was nice. I appreciate us doing the work for the sponsors, but we appreciate the sponsors being on the show.
Yes, damn straight we do. Damn straight we do. Each and every week, we thank you.
Yes.
And all right, so my number five.
Yeah, considering the list.
Considering jumping right back in is 127 Hours.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet. I don't know why. It's one of those ones, it's just a kind of – do you really recommend it hardcore, man?
It's Franco at his best.
Yeah.
It's a dude that's pinned by a boulder because you know that.
Yes.
Because
from the trailer.
From the trailer, but I remember him on Letterman before the movie came out.
The actual guy?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Telling his story.
Wow.
And you start thinking about it and you're like, it's crazy like to saw through with a dull blade your own stinking arm to escape out of there. It was incredible to watch. Utterly incredible to as he's trying to get himself out and knowing that he's pinned there and he goes through every form. Basically, he gets himself to the point of, I'm going to die.
Yeah.
And it's him lashing out because you know he cuts his arm off. Mm-hmm. There's no other motivation.
Could you do it?
I would hope so.
I don't know. Like, you'd have to go into some place mentally, right?
Yes.
Like, so.
Yes. Yeah, this isn't an everyday activity.
I mean, you get through the skin once you get to the bone.
That's, oh, yeah.
That's where you're
with
just like,
a dull blade?
Yeah, with a dull blade. It's going
to
take you forever.
To the bone.
Yeah.
The smart thing would be just to break it. I know.
Oh, so you lose
it would take less time, and it's easier to cut through the meat if there's no bone in the way.
Wow.
That's if I am strong enough to start cutting off my arm, I hope I'm strong enough to break break it on top of that.
It almost made me throw up. The idea of breaking my own arm and hearing the crack is sickening.
And then he plays it into the camera. He's pulling out the guts. Ah! Like right into camera.
3D.
Yeah. Danny Boyle just took it a hard zoom straight in. I don't know how he was at a rack focus or hits the camera perfect. Too bad they don't show this at the Muppets Theater at Disney where there's you put the glasses on. Yeah. It sprays you with water and like bubbles come out and all that. You really get the effect.
Just you get blood on your face. Oh, no, look.
Exactly. It's wisping around, so there's like a wind effect as well. Spraying like, oh, I'm getting – oh, my God. It's just brutal. You get slapped in the face a little.
This 4D is incredible.
Oh, dude, the re-release on this. If we don't get 5%, copyright top 10, 2019, for the end of the year, we'll get our lawyer on that.
I'll gladly work the system, the whatever that is. That, it
that is our idea, guys.
Absolutely. Don't you take it. all right, that's your number five. Mm-hmm. I'll watch it. I'm sure I'll watch it soon. My number five is Dog Day Afternoon.
Okay.
Yeah.
I kept it. Go.
It's a little bit of a cheat. It's a little bit of a cheat.
It just because – so what you're saying about Die Hard to me is this.
Okay.
When they go outside to his male lover and whatnot, that gives me just as much understanding of that individual as what he's going through in the moment. Whereas the Reginald L. Johnson is like –
yeah,
he's helping along, but it doesn't help me understand McClane outside of that one walkie-talkie.
Well, I think that's the thing with me. It's because he calls the male lover. It connects it to the location.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
And so for me, that's a little more for – it works a little bit better for me.
You're not wrong. I wrote it on the side, but it's just like, I don't know. That to me is kind of a pivotal scene because it
– right. It is. Absolutely.
It gives you the motivation in part of who he is.
Yeah. But it's tough. I mean, this is a 1970s film. You're in one location. And almost the whole time, and it's like, but the tension there is just like palpable the whole time with Pacino and John Cazale and Charles Durning and everything going on there, and then Charles Durning like having to push back the more angrier elements or more aggressive elements of his police force, but still trying to negotiate with Pacino. Pacino's like kind of like at the beginning you sense that he's like in control, but as it goes along, he starts to lose the control as it goes along because
he's spinning.
He is. He's spinning. He's doing his best he can, and he's taking like cues wherever he can take the cues. Like just
because his plan fell apart a long time ago.
Yeah, exactly. He's not doing this because he's like some kind of warrior for the working man against the system. He was doing this to buy a sex change operation for his lover.
Yeah.
And when he starts doing the Attica, it's so foundationless because that isn't his point.
I love – at least I read years later that was an improv line from him and the crowd. They're regular people and they just started chanting it back because Attica just happened. And it was a cry of the underclass or the subjugated or the poor or whatever – going, yes, stand up, like fight back type of thing.
Yeah.
To get that from a New York City crowd, just of random strangers going, Eddie, hell yes. Like, oh, wow, that is crazy. Just to, that gives you an understanding of the psychological profile of society, at least in New York City at that time.
Certainly in the 70s, hell yeah.
You assume that's got to be reflective probably the same way it is today. Larger cities have a lot of those individuals and they're spread out everywhere else.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you, that's for sure. Anyway, it's just a fantastically well-directed film. I think it's Sidney Lumet who did Dog Day
Afternoon. You're correct.
I'm a little rusty on my
Doesn't come up in the Schmodown.
I'm a little rusty.
That page in the Outlaws encyclopedia is a little dusty.
I used to know everything, but there's just you keep shoving it in. There's not much left. Yeah, Sidney Lumet, was it 2.5 hours? Yeah, it's only 2 hour and 5 minute movie. So
wow, it feels like a 2.5-er.
It does, right? Because and that's the thing about
sad single location. The whole time. That's why.
Yeah, you're a good point. Good point. Yeah,
it feels longer because it's just like the whole time. It's like,
because you know it's not going to end.
No, and with every gut punch, it hurts just a little bit more, and then that you just carries with you until the next gut punch.
Right.
It's almost merciless at the airport.
It is. Oh my God, you're right. That's true.
It put us all out of our misery.
Yep.
Spoiler alert on a 40 how many year old movie at this point?
It is. All right, what's your number four, man?
Four is Buried.
Yeah, one I haven't seen. I know you like that movie. I have not seen that one yet.
It just – so you want to talk about a single location. Boom.
Yeah.
Done.
Okay.
It's a dude that got buried.
Uh-huh. Yeah, Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds.
You do love it.
He's got trust me, you have a bigger love of Ryan Reynolds than I do.
I'm just saying you love him. That's all I was trying to make fun of.
Oh, yeah, but you're implying, and I understand the implication.
How dare you?
The nice thing is his camera catch all this bullshit body language now. So if you're not, yeah, this fake shock. Because if I'll go to bat for this movie. It's good. Just say just friends around him's not good, and just look at this. Watch this.
That's not a good idea.
Transformation.
Just Friends is a good
movie. The outlaw comes out. I wish. The hat just flipped up. Oh, took on a huge character. All right, when we get the slide-in screen, then we get the outlaw auto hat as well. It'll be another. You can hit a button. Boom, hat gets planted on.
What'd you say?
It's like Mask, the cartoon. Robotic hand comes down, perfectly places it on your head. There's bright lights, great music. It's going to be perfect.
The logo, the theme song comes in.
Outlaw, he's here to right all the wrongs. Outlaw. I want at least 50% on that. I think I should get all the, you know, the songwriting royalties.
Absolutely. If we make it happen, you get 50% of everything.
Well, you know.
Absolutely. I'm not going to give you all the songwriting royalties.
I just say we make it a union contract. That's all.
I don't know what that means. I feel like you're screwing me over by saying union.
I feel like I'm protecting my rights by doing that is what I'm saying. It's a matter of perspective. That's all.
Why did the top 10 fall apart? We got into a court fight about the rights, the royalties with a stupid song about the outlaw.
Dude, the 50 people that tune in, they are going to be transfixed.
That's true.
They're going to love it.
Fair point.
And all we need to do is get those 50 people to multiply to another 50 people, and we build.
Oh, that's a good point. But I think if the hat...
On top of the other project that you have, let's create another project on top of that.
If the hat comes on, the robe should come on for you. All of a sudden, your shirt gets ripped off. And boom, the robe comes on.
Oh, great.
What'd you say?
Now I got lighting cues that I think we both would like. Some smoke effect every once again would be appreciated on this half of the table. I don't know about on that.
Fair enough.
I'm not saying use it every week.
I like it.
Pepper it in when it's good.
Yeah.
Sure. Sure. Let's build the show and we get all this. It's not a problem. There's a lot of former Chuck E. Cheese's out there.
Oh.
So we can get some, animatronic skeletons and then we just change
good call.
What some of these things do. We have like a little butler type thing right now and it just does it.
What'd you say about Buried? Woo! Buried.
It's in essence like Locke. He's in a coffin.
Yeah.
You know, boom, go. And he has cell reception every once and again. It's vaguely coming through.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't spoiled anything, and it's a damn good movie.
Yeah.
But it's the singularity of the location. It's like I'm bumping it higher because I've seen it a few times, whereas Locke I've only seen the once.
So
Locke, you could easily rate higher if I end up going back to you every once and again.
Sure.
So that was my four.
Okay. My four is Dread.
Okay. Because I had Raid,
Oh, you took Dread off?
Yeah.
Oh.
I love Dread. For the...
Die Hard also occurs in a building.
Well, I'm just how many of these can, you know... just like you with Hitchcock, because it looks like you're going to have three Hitchcocks.
No, only two.
Really? Only two? Really?
Yeah, only two Hitchcocks.
Okay.
I don't count the other one because it occurs in another place. You're watching them watch something in another
From
place.
From the narrator's perspective, though,
but
which is...
But you're still watching another location. But I hear you're...
From his location. We're enjoying it from... So we're living in the thing with him.
We're pre-fighting before we get to it.
We are pre-fighting.
We're tailgating before we get to the game.
Yeah, but who doesn't love a good, cold beer? Perfect. You think this is coffee? No way.
Oh, have you seen Ford versus Ferrari yet, man?
Yep.
Dude.
Saw it in Dolby.
Yeah. The Atmos. Yeah.
So good. Catherine, I didn't know, took out her Bluetooth wireless earphones, the noise canceling ones, and actually put it in her ears because it was so loud. I was like, really? I mean, I knew it was loud, but I didn't think it was that loud. There's only been one movie ever that I thought was too loud.
Oh, yeah? What was that?
Beowulf, when they did the...
Oh, shit. Okay.
Whatever I've only seen it the one time because I hated it.
Yeah.
The screeching character that was like the son of Angelina Jolie somehow, when he was screeching, it was so loud that I was covering my ears and it was still like rattling around in my brain.
Wow.
And I was like, this is uncomfortable. I love movies.
Yeah.
I love movies. This is unbearable. I've gone out before to say I think it's too quiet.
Oh, wow.
Well, when Crystal Skull came out, seeing that in theaters, I couldn't feel Indy's punches. You know, with that ridiculous like...
Yeah.
And it's usually like that little punch. Yeah. You can feel it on a good enough system. And I was like, I'm not feeling that punch. I'm not asking to be blown away.
Right.
But you can feel it. It's just a ridiculous over-the-top sound effect.
What if you had the 4D thing? It's like... It really punches you.
A lot of ideas. A lot of ideas.
It can really work.
Really happen.
People are willing to surrender themselves to the experience.
Think of you even like a step further, and you do the Soarin', California Soarin', with the thing that's suspended.
Yeah.
What if you did that, all the same technology, and one of your favorite movies, 2001 A Space Odyssey, and you're like floating through space. You can do that with any space movie or a submarine movie. Like it shakes, and you're like, oh my God, I feel the depth charges.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Or gravity, like when the ship starts falling.
Yeah, and you're like somehow falling as well.
I'm down with that. I'm 100% down with this idea.
I think eventually maybe movies have to kind of gravitate towards that.
It's $100 a ticket for the experience.
Whoa, look at you jumping up the prices super quick.
I'm just saying.
Just pricing out the little man for a guy that likes to stand up for the working class.
The guy who just bought a house in California points to himself as the little man. You are not the little man anymore, guy. You moved up a tax bracket now.
But who's doing all the work at that house? You know what I mean? The next tax bracket up would then also be able to pay somebody to do all the work.
That's fair.
And I'm doing it. You make sacrifice. I'm happy to do it. I am not complaining at all. I go as fast as I can. I had to fucking. It doesn't even matter.
I don't think you'd hire somebody even if you had the
money. No, certainly. I've hired people to help. Like I didn't do any electricity.
Okay.
And the plumbing.
Do you think you could let go and never hire anybody if you're rich enough?
Sure.
Really?
Sure.
You wouldn't want to micromanage it or stand over it or whatever?
No, so long as I didn't do it with the shower.
Okay.
We had to somebody, although I had to go in and finish the grout for them afterwards because they screwed it up. Because
right. You told me the tile and everything.
Yeah, it took two full days of like 12, 16 hours down there with this little thing the size of a toothbrush and just slowly grinding off grout through an entire 8 foot by like 4 foot kind of telephone booth shower. Yep.
You curb stomped me before I did.
It took a long – I'm saying cumulative hours it took me.
Yeah.
I spent cumulatively like 5 days in that shower alone, five and a half, something like that.
Right.
Because I had to tear it down 3 separate times technically.
Yeah.
Wow. So that alone, that took a lot of time. But you add up the hours. I'm at 5.5 full days of hours working on this shower.
Yeah.
That took me a week and a half of like nonstop. I'm down there for 12 hours.
Right.
I put in a couple 16-hour days destroying a shower. That was just one of a whole list of projects that had to be finished. Good times, man.
I love it.
But I'm in decent shape, so.
Yeah, you are.
I'm enjoying that.
So Dredd was my number four. Like I said, great stuff here from Carl Urban, Lena Headey.
Donald Gleason again.
Donald Gleason, yes. It's so incredibly well directed. Yeah,
the guy from The Wire. Can never remember his name.
Okay.
Let's see.
Who's that?
Oh, it was Stringer's partner. Why am I blanking on his name? The guy that was technically number one, but Stringer.
Oh, Wood Harris.
Yeah,
he was in Remember the Titans.
Uh-huh.
Right.
He's been in
a
ton of different stuff.
Yeah.
He's in this. Can't remember the...
Olivia Thirlby is his partner, the female.
Okay. I couldn't remember her name.
Yeah. She is someone that I don't understand why she never blew up. Because she's never given a bad performance.
And what else is she in? She's good in this.
Incredibly cute and very attractive and good at what she does. So I've never understood. She's like that mix of like an Anne Hathaway type of actress. Rachel McAdams kind of vibe. She's been in...
But that's my question. What else has she been in?
Yeah. Because
Dredd wasn't a huge success.
She was in United 93. Juno. She was in Juno. She was the best friend of Juno. She was in New York, I Love You. Let's see. No Strings Attached. She was in the. Being Flynn, Dredd, The Wedding Ringer with Kevin Hart.
Okay, I'm sure some people have seen that, but I remember that being poorly reviewed. I didn't see it.
Yeah. Goliath Chappaquiddick, the most recent one.
Oh, Chappaquiddick, I saw.
Yeah. She's in that as a character named Rachel. Then
of course, Rachel.
Somebody came with White Orchid. So to me, it's just always been fascinating that she's never been like high on the list of people to be cast in romantic comedies or to be cast this kind of thing. Because she has the McAdams vibe. She has the Hathaway vibe. I don't know. Maybe those two just have those slots and she can't get past them.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's weird because she's good. She's really good.
Yeah, and she's good in this.
Yeah.
I don't know. This and The Raid to me, they're the same movie.
Okay. Fair enough.
Dredd, with what they do so amazingly are all the drug sequences.
Yeah.
They make this weird.
Slowdown, yeah.
But hyper stylized, you're on something that's releasing all kinds of endorphins and whatnot, like ecstasy on top of something else, on top of something else, on top of like pharmacologically something even more effective, five times over.
What's it called? Like slow-mo? Isn't it called slow-mo?
I think so, yeah. But when they slow-mo the one, it is slow-mo. They slow-mo the one dude and then throw him over the balcony.
Yeah.
And just to him, it lasts like 100 times longer than everybody else. Everybody else, it's over in nine seconds, ten seconds as he falls to the – although there's like 100 and something floors in this thing.
Yeah.
But the – oh, my God. So he feels this for how long? Hours?
Mm-hmm.
How long does this take? 10 minutes instead of 10 seconds?
Yeah.
That's brutal.
All right. Because you know it's happening and you can't stop it. Yeah. It's all in slow motion. You're just like, oh, my God. It's and the 3D. This is some of the best 3D you'll ever see. If you ever see it in 3D, it's fantastic. Dread is. And Carl Urban's great. Never takes the mask off. That's fantastic.
It's the character.
Yeah. I love it.
It's like the Mandalorian.
That's the thing I love.
Mask stays on.
We'll see what happens. If
mask
he ever
stays on.
Yeah. Are you enjoying it?
Mm-hmm.
I'm loving it too, man. I like it a lot.
Yeah. Spoiler alert. It's good stuff.
Yeah. Good stuff. Shout out to Verizon giving us customers a year for free without paying for it. It's pretty awesome.
That is pretty awesome.
Yeah. I was surprised by that. Saw the special when I was in Australia. I was like, yes, sign me up. 12 months for free. Yeah. All right. There we go. What's your number three?
My number three is the other Hitchcockian.
Oh,
Rear
okay.
Window.
Here we go. Here's the battle.
Well, because you're seeing it through his eyes. So you're experiencing it through his eyes.
Right.
So he's the conduit by which you're understanding the story because it happens in the constraints of where he's at to me. It's a single location.
Right.
But you're saying because the action of what he's following is happening from afar?
Yeah, in another location.
Okay.
So to me, but I get your point, though.
It's the conceit of the movie.
Yeah, I get your point, though, right?
All you care about is because that would be you. You are now him. So you're like, okay, and I'm stuck in this when – what's his name?
Raymond Burr.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm sitting there going, Richard Burr. I knew it was an R. Once I get to the first name, I get to the second.
Yeah.
Because I knew him from the lawyer show.
Oh, yeah.
My mom
Perry Mason.
It. There you go. Perry Mason.
Yeah.
I just remember the TV movie version one they did where at a courthouse or a state capitol or something. Guy falls out of – and upstairs, and he has to piece it all together and whatnot. My mom liked Perry Mason quite a bit.
It's a good show.
I watched a lot of Perry Mason.
Yeah, man.
But when he shows up at the door, that would be us, just sitting there like, oh, dude, don't make any noise. Like, maybe he won't know this is your place. He hasn't figured it out.
Well, to me, the action is occurring in another location.
True.
Which is why, to me, the conceit is – I'm not going to fight you on it. But in my mind, I didn't put it on my list because it's all there's stuff happening in another location. So when I think of single location, everything's happening in the one location for the most part. But it is, in his mind, all happening in the one location because, like you said, he's stuck here. So everything has to go through him. Like Grace Kelly showing up has to go through him.
And you're,
everybody. Yeah.
But once again, all the action you're seeing from his vantage point. It's not like they cut to and then suddenly we're down and these people are tussling.
Right.
It's all from his. So just, we're experiencing that as he does.
Yeah. The helplessness of being unable to stop it.
You have a suspicion. That suspicion seems like it's fairly accurate.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you can't act upon it. So sitting terrified from afar.
Yeah. Good point. All right.
Yeah, that was my three. What you got?
I'm not going to fight you. Breakfast Club.
All right. I was hoping you had it.
Yeah. Oh, no, you didn't.
A, it was close, but it's like, you know, I think if I was a few years older, I would have the attachment to those two.
Yeah, yeah.
I like it, and I understand all about it, but I don't have the same attachment to all those actors.
That's fair.
That for a generation, I fully get.
Well, it's not just the actors. It's the actual movie.
Well, it's the story.
Right. The story is so good and relatable, and it's high school and like – who's the nerd? Who's the popular kid? What happens when they come together? What's the reality of the situation, right? How do they work it all out? And to me, that's what I enjoy the most about the film is that this is these are characters you know. These are characters that you've experienced. And regardless of generational thing. And what's funny is now I wonder if you could do a Breakfast Club now. Right?
Of course.
The popular girl would not be the cheerleader or whatever. It would be someone else.
We don't know that.
Right.
When was the last time you were in high school?
High school. Now the nerds rule the world. The nerds would be the cool kids in high school, not the jocks.
So I'm told.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's still the case.
Is it blue state to red state? Like in the red states, are the athletes still the coolest kids or are the nerds? And in the blue states, is it the nerds or the athletes? I don't know. I think it's nerds now.
I would imagine it's just a general appreciation more for all of it. You know, there's a lot less negativity. That's where I don't think this movie could work.
I hope so.
Because they would never allow for stereotypes to be displayed like this.
Yeah.
It's like, you're the jock. This is you.
Yeah.
You're the nerd. This is you. You're the emo goth. Here's the misunderstood young youth in Judd.
But that's the gift of the movie, is we're true. Presented these stock characters or stereotypical characters, but then we see behind the curtain about what's constructed these kids. And it's mostly the parents and the society and the school teachers, right? This is – they force them into these narratives, into these stereotypes. And it's fascinating, you know. And so that's what I like about the movie. It is a shot against parents, and it's a shot against this idea of, like, you know, what's the line in the movie? Like, once you grow up, I'm convinced your heart dies once you grow up. And it's like, okay. Ali Sheedy says that. And so it's like, okay, it's this whole thing of, like, fighting against the system that's been set up for us to feel this way about ourselves and have to fall into these caricatures so that we can exist within the construct of the system. And they're breaking the system by having these emotional, vulnerable, honest exchanges, both positive and negative.
Yeah.
Because there are some negative exchanges where Claire says to Anthony Michael Hall's character, like, Kevin, I'm not going to – I don't know if it's Kevin, but something like that. I'm not going to say hi to you in the hallway. Mm-hmm. It's not how it works. And he's all like, what are you going to do? That kind of thing. So, you know.
Because, well, you're viewing someone from afar and you've built up a preconception about who they are.
Right.
And what they are in the construct of high school and the ridiculous pecking order that is created.
Yeah.
I mean, I know mine, like, there was tons of different groups, but I don't think that there was a general, like, we're better than you type of. It's like, we do our thing, you do your thing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, it's a good high school.
It was a small high school.
Mine was that way.
I can't imagine, like, at a huge school, that would be impossible.
Yeah.
But
we had, like, 617 people.
Yeah, I had 120-something in mine.
Yeah. It was definitely – they were the cool kids, the cheerleaders, all those people.
Yeah, we had those, but it was just like, there's so few, in essence, kids. It's just like, yeah, you know. Yeah. These are the people that like to build the – do the committees and run the yearbook and whatnot. But it's awesome that there's, you know, eight of you that seem to enjoy it. Great.
Yeah.
It's perfect. That's, you know, almost 10% of our class or whatever. So it's probably like 7 or 8% of the class. Awesome. That's on one project. Done. It's just good to get kids involved.
That's true.
A lot of those are usually on, like, student body, and then student body would cross over in two, and then you get the jocks and whatever else. And the kids that would go just past property line to smoke cigarettes.
Oh,
you used to be able to smoke at lunchtime at my high school.
Yeah, mine too.
So you had to bring a note from your parents.
Yep. It was a smoking designated area. And ours, it was the back of the high school under the stairs. You could smoke there. The smoke, whatever they had a name for it. I can't remember what it was called. Maybe smoking area or something like that.
I got caught smoking at school one time in gym class.
You were smoking in gym class?
Well, I was outside because there was this double door that led off. And at certain points, you know, I'm a senior at this point, so it doesn't matter. And I went outside to have a cigarette, knowing if I can hotbox it and get it down quick enough time, I can make it back before he gets back.
Right.
And as I'm finishing going to throw it, there was this perfect rain gutter where the upper part, when it met it, and there was a gap between the two coupling and the coupling.
Oh.
So you just perfectly throw your cigarette and it's gone.
Yeah.
So there's no proof of – you just got to huff this thing down as quick as you can, get through as much as you can until you feel like you're going to get caught. And the gym teacher caught me. But he liked me because I was a good guy, and I also at that time it was okay. I enforced – on a couple younger bullies.
Yeah, okay.
They were taking care of other kids and just kind of put them in their place. If you're not the biggest dog out here.
Right.
Because they – whatever. It was mostly seniors in my class, but there would be a couple juniors, a couple sophomores or whatever.
Sure,
kind of sprinkle it in. So he was just like kind of I'm not going to say anything, but don't do it again.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is never going to happen again. I won't say anything. So thank you very much. And he just was like, walk on in.
Well, he was like, meet me afterwards. We'll smoke a whole pack.
Could have been. I had weirder teachers in high school.
Yeah. What's your number two?
Two is Moon.
Oh, okay. Go ahead, man.
Because it's a singularity of perspective, understanding, location.
Yeah.
And then the philosophical debate that it asks of you about humanity and shit, right to life.
Yeah.
And the concept of what is life. And is it right to engineer this or to lie to someone to all the questions that ask of you over and over again. So you're just living in this little, you know, fucking recursive environment that just keeps kind of, you know, blending back on itself, so to speak, or mutating back on itself and just living in this paradox on some level.
Yeah.
And he's just on the moon. So you get this weird, isolated, marooned atmosphere on top of it. So for the singularity of it, it's a single location. It is utterly by itself. He is literally by himself, but yet not alone, which is an interesting question to ask yourselves. If you guys have never seen Moon, go out there. Please see it. It's a really good early Sam Rockwell when he's showing the world he has the chops that he's gotten the Oscars for later on.
Yeah. Duncan Jones, fantastic job directing that film. Yeah. David Bowie's son.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see if he gets nominated for Jojo Rabbit.
Yeah, right? I liked it.
So did I. I thought it's one of my favorite movies of the year.
Yeah. I was on FYC earlier today arguing for Taika Waititi as Best Supporting Actor nomination.
100%.
I think he should absolutely be nominated.
100%.
The high wire act of portraying Hitler for comedy, yet not losing the bubbling
side of.
Right, the bubbling, ugly, mm-hmm. angry, violent side of him.
Well, because of the beauty of the conceit of the character.
Yeah.
Why? Where that character springs from.
Yeah.
Couldn't create those thoughts because it can't think like that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So it's a beautiful little look at this rascal type of version. You know, I was just keeping it warm. That's what best friends do. That line killed me in the theater. I can't wait to watch it again.
Yeah.
I really can't.
But then when he gets really upset at him, you see the hair come out.
I feel like we're spoiling, you know.
Fair enough. Good point.
I feel like.
All right. So that was your number two?
That was my two.
All right. My two is the pun from earlier, Raid. The Raid.
Two. Redemption. Okay. Good for you. I had it as high as six. That and Die Hard were flip-flopping.
I just think because I removed Die Hard, I have to put this here in my opinion because I think this is a film that I absolutely thoroughly love.
And you had Dread where?
I had Dread at four.
Really like this, you know, cinema construct here.
I was more focused on the fact that there's a lot of these that are one-name movies on my list. I didn't even think about the idea of it being like a building construct for a number
just
of
boom, location? I got your location right here.
Right here. But yeah, this thing, I mean, you do start out in the back of the van. But once you get there, you get there. And it's the rest of the movie.
That is nothing. That tells you really nothing about the character until they get into the chaos.
Yeah, man.
And the somehow believable and completely unbelievable story as it unfolds.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think the sequel is as good as the first
either.
One.
People, you know, think it is.
Yeah, I don't understand that.
I'm not in agreement.
It gets a bit tedious at certain moments. And the fights go on a bit low. Some of the fights go on just a little too long.
Well, you could say that about the first one.
I like the fights that go
on. Yeah, but that one fight where it's two on one.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody's standing. I mean, they are going so hard. And they crush each other.
Yeah.
Then they get up and they're still spry as can be type of thing. It's fantastic to watch. Utterly fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. Thoroughly enjoy that film.
Perfect choreographed chaos.
Yeah. Do you think the American remake would be any damn good?
I don't know anything about it. I can't imagine.
Yeah.
How do you do?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not Old Boy.
No.
It's a simpler story, but
yeah.
I guess you could. I don't see why not.
Yeah. I mean,
perhaps. It's martial arts heavy, so who would – when was the last time like a super, super martial arts heavy movie like that hit huge stateside?
No,
I'm not saying it's not possible, but it's been a while.
Yeah, no. I agree with you. 1,000%. It does not happen that often.
Hmm.
It does not happen that often. So you're right. You're right. I mean,
and it's the only way you can get away with this fighting style.
I think Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon was the last one before that one, and that's martial arts – it's kind of to an extent.
It's more.
Right. It's the fighting and the
more fantasy
and all that. Yeah, right. Exactly.
This one's very – it's just a specific style of action to pull off visually what we associate with these types of movies.
Yeah, yeah.
I always wonder why the villain never got more work that I saw.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not saying he's not working steadily in Southeast Asia somewhere and just crushing it.
But maybe that's what he's doing.
I hope so.
Want to do more like cross over into American stuff, you know? It's possible. Because those two of them show up in Star Wars in the Force Awakens.
The scene where everybody makes reference to Ellis.
Yeah, yeah.
Kanji Club.
Kanji Club, yeah, yeah.
To me, he was the standout. Every once again, those dudes pop up, like in Parasite, the dad. I was like, oh, that's the dude from The Good, the Bad, and the Weird, I think it's called.
Yeah, Sung Kang Ho.
And I liked him. He's my favorite part of that movie.
You know,
and
I tweeted that because I interviewed him here at Collider for Parasite, and I had no idea. This guy's like the Robert De Niro of Korea.
I believe it.
Yeah. When I met him, I could believe it. Incredibly nice guy. Very giving. Very fun. Cool dude.
He crushes it in Parasite.
He really does. But I had no idea. People were like, you don't know who you've interviewed. This is the Robert De Niro of Korea. Dude, he's cool. He's totally chill. He had an awesome shirt. My God, go see that interview on YouTube. It's a fantastic shirt.
It's like you don't know who was it, Sarah R.O.?
Right.
Who that was until you knew who that was.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, I get it now why you guys, you know, hold him up to be your Babe Ruth, Barry Bonds, McGuire, whatever, right. Super slugger. I get it.
Yeah, agreed.
And hopefully he was clean. I don't care if he took. I would just want to know that so I can understand a reference of his numbers.
Yeah.
But if just – I don't care, athletes. Just disclose it. Sure, you can take whatever you like.
Yeah.
Seems dumb, but it's your life. So long as it's allowed within the rules, go crazy.
Yeah. All right, what's your number one? Is it the same?
I hope so, 12 Angry Men.
12 Angry Men. Hell yeah.
It's the easy no-brainer, first movie I thought of.
Another Sidney Lumet film. Yeah, his first film. Yeah.
There you go.
Based off the Reginald Rose play.
He did a bunch of TV work before this.
Yes, he did. Sidney did, yeah.
It is genuinely one of the ones from that era that anybody now can go back and watch, and you get sucked in because the pacing is just as good as these people become to assess what they view the truth or how they're viewing the truth right now.
Yeah.
And Fonda basically pleading for the accused.
Yeah.
And how that conversation develops throughout with 12 Angry Men. Yeah. Nobody wants to be there. It's a hot day in, what is it, New York?
New York, yeah.
And all you hear about that is means it's hot and super muggy. Like just the type of humidity that you shield yourself from now as an adult doesn't happen out here.
No.
Thank God.
No.
We both moved away from it.
Yeah.
Heavy humidity is when you walk outside and you're instantly just sweating because it's just wet.
Yeah. Yeah. Going back to Orlando, that was what was like the feeling going back to for that live event. Mm-hmm. Walking out of the hotel before I went to bed that night, I just walked for a couple of miles.
Yeah.
You're just like, oh my God.
You feel like you're wearing the atmosphere.
Yeah.
It's just decoding you.
Yeah. Like, it's like someone threw a massively large, warm towel on top of your body. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, oh, God. It's the worst.
It's a southern hug right there.
Oh, good call. I like that.
Yeah.
That's a nice way to put it.
That is a nice way to put it.
Yeah. Henry Fonda, Jack Warden, Ed Begley Jr.'s dad. Ed Begley's in this thing. He plays the old man, juror number 10. Oh, my God. Who's the dad in Christmas Vacation?
Oh, I know you're talking about.
Yeah, I forget the actor's name.
He was in what? Necessary Roughness?
Yes.
It's a long
E.G. Marshall. E.G. Marshall.
Good point.
Yeah, he's in there. And so there's so much that goes on into that. And I directed the play back at Florida State. So it's a fun play to do. It's a fun movie to watch. And Matt's right. It totally holds up.
It does.
Still holds up. It's written so well. You know all those people.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've experienced them in your life. And when the change happens, Lee J. Cobb versus Henry Fonda at the end there, you're just like, you're heartbroken. You were hating this guy through the whole film. And then when you find out the reasons why, and it's not highlighted in a massive way. It's just there, and he has his moment, and you're just like, oh my God, wow. So, yeah,
bringing his outside bullshit into a conversation that it's not a part of,
right?
Which is what we said about this show. We may disagree with this, and we're happy to have the disagreement like a civil conversation.
Yeah,
but if it comes like you motherfucker, you're like, all right, well, there's no way we provoked this in you.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. This is something else.
This is.
Yeah.
I will not respond, but if you need to vent, go right ahead.
Yeah. You got to work something out.
You do.
Let me know.
That's fine. Get it out of your system. Puke it out.
Puke it out.
Puke it out onto the world. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. I feel so much better. I'm glad. But it has nothing to do with whatever we're doing.
Absolutely zero. All right. Well, that's our separate top 10 list. Have they been putting the graphics up? We should read our top 10 list. Right?
Okay, sure. We could build that in for them. Go back to that type of style to help them out. Because I think I sped through the last one.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I'm not going to watch it, but there's no point.
Of course.
And to try and find where our list ended, and there was no graphic.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So, but we didn't stop for them to help them out.
Yeah, we should put the graphic in now.
So we got to be proactive.
I tried to do it last time. You were like, no, let's keep going.
So you did not.
I did.
You did not.
Go back and listen to that audio.
I will go back and listen
to
that audio.
And I say, we should read our list for the graphic. And you're like, it doesn't matter. We should move forward. And I was like, all right.
It probably happened. It's a pretty good impression of me for those of you guys watching out there.
I'm just saying. All right. What's your 10
so
through 1?
My 10 through 1 is at number 10, Locke. 9, Misery. 8, Ex Machina. 7, The Raid. 6, Die Hard. 5, 127 Hours. 4, Buried. 3, Rear Window. Number 2, Moon. And number 1, 12 Angry Men.
Oh, well, I look forward to the – that was a great list. I look forward to the graphic that will come for mine. My number 10 was Ex Machina. Number 9 was Locke. Number 8, Rope. Number 7, Lifeboat. Number 6, Moon. Number 5, Dog Day Afternoon. Number 4, Dread. Number 3, The Breakfast Club. Number 2, The Raid Red Redemption. And number 1, 12 Angry Men, which I imagine is our number 1 on our list there.
Already got us started off, okay. And I am in agreement. So Moon was 2-6.
Yeah.
What was your
Raid was 2 for me.
That's another 2-6.
Oh.
Do we have anything else? Nothing else in the top?
Mm-mm.
Nope.
No. Time to bring out the coin already.
Wow, that was an early one.
That's an early coin toss.
Do you, okay. I just think Moon is actually a better film. It is. I put it higher on my list.
I put Raid higher on my list.
So I got to reach over to this bag.
Tell you what, I'll let you have Moon on this one.
What do you want in exchange?
And then down the road, if there's another tie, I get dibs.
I feel like you're already looking at something. That's fine.
I don't know if there's anything.
That's fine.
I don't think there's anything.
If you are, congratulations. All politics is local, and you just worked me,
that's
and
right.
You're perhaps in your favor.
I did.
I don't know.
We'll see.
I don't know. All right, next.
Raid Redemption.
Yeah, that I got.
Okay.
So that's 1, 2, 3.
I have Breakfast Club next. What do you have?
Rear Window at 3. You have Breakfast Club. So do you want that there?
There you go.
You tell me, though, that in your heart of hearts, you think of that as a better movie than Rear Window?
Mm-hmm. Rear Window at times feels dated.
Oh, okay.
And plus, she's 12 and he's 75. That's a little ridiculous. Let's move on. I'm just saying.
It happens. It happens. You know, much like life, love yeah. finds a way.
Oh, yeah. Good point. What's your number? All right. We're going to do this the whole way down.
In essence, we only have to put on. So you added Ex Machina to yours.
I did.
And we have Locke.
Yeah, Locke's that's my it. Number 9.
Yeah, so we can slot those in if you want at like 9, 10 right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, sounds good to me. Because they're so far down.
Yeah.
They shouldn't leapfrog multiple spots for us.
All right. So I got Buried at 4.
I had Dread at 4.
Well, Buried just...
Oh!
Buried the lead.
Wow.
You know what?
No. You started. Buried, then Dread.
I was saying, I'll flip a coin for that one.
No, fair.
Because we, the agreement was on the first one, not on the second one, and I just preempted. This is how good I am. Talk about a compromise.
Because you know there's 3 slots left, and if you go Dread, Buried, and we tie again, I get dibs.
I'll do double coin flip.
We're going to do 3 coin flips.
Well, no, it'd be 2. You would get, if you win, you get yours, then I get mine. Vice versa, if I win. And
enough.
Then the last spot,
okay.
We could do another
all right,
coin
do
flip
it.
On that. That
bring
way it's a little.
Why
bring
you
out the coin.
The coin. Let's do this thing.
Here's another animatronic
mm-hmm.
that we need. We need a little, have the butler, then hand comes in with the coin.
Yeah.
Camera shot right on it. Lighting from above. Add a little smoke to that shot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Guys, this is definitely going to happen. Because after that, then John's going to build a special effects show.
Oh, yeah.
And
get
he'll
ready.
Be up to date. He'll get be up ready. To date. All right. Hitting the ground as per usual.
Okay.
That is a Batman.
Oh, wow. I don't know if that counts, but okay. I'll accept it.
Do you want to contest the flip?
No, that's fine.
Do you want to like put Barry that as dread? A coach's challenge?
Well, I'd say if you're going to say it's going to hit the ground, let it hit the ground. You let it hit the table. So it's next time, just flip it. So it hits the
still,
ground.
Though, one time, the last time you flipped one that maintained its horizontal plane the entire time and then basically kind of landed where it was flipped, like rotating in the air. And you're like, that's a good one. And I'm like, that did not rotate
I like
once.
That you held on to that. I don't even remember that. But go ahead. All right.
I just remember it's one of those that sometimes comes off your thumb weird. And it
oh,
has.
Yeah.
So it stays like that, but it's spinning like this.
Yeah.
Fair so it's enough. Maintaining, but it's like, oh, that's really weird. Where did it flip off my thumb type of thing? I get it right every other. Boom.
Okay.
Buried.
Yeah.
And you had?
Dread. So then I should flip for this one, right?
Go
what,
for it.
What do you have left? What's your number 5?
My 5 is 127 Hours.
Oh, mine's Dog Day Afternoon. You're going to tell me 127 Hours is better film than Dog Day Afternoon? You're going to leave it to the coin flip? Really?
I would say 127 Hours is actually better than Buried. I probably should have had that higher. I'm going to switch that. So I'm going to put 127 there.
Oh, now you're going to put Buried over Dog Day Afternoon? I think you got to put Dog Day. If that's the battle.
I agree to a two coin flip situation. So a second coin flip is needed.
Your ego need to be winning.
It's not that.
Terrible. It's terrible.
That's
why Chicago is
much like my conciliation before.
Oh.
I am keeping the same stance. I'm not violating the agreement that I set forth. I am being honorable, lawful, civilized.
I hope you're looking at the side I am doing.
That's fine. Those out there can understand that I am operating within the construct of the law.
Mm. I know a lot of you join me in the side eye.
That's fine. An outlaw not agreeing to the law is not surprising.
All right.
I don't look on your face. This seems to be so. Oh, Dog Day Afternoon?
Yeah. Thank God. I was a little nervous.
Well, thankfully, we can play it back,
mm-hmm.
and I can go like Zapruder like film, and I can go back and watch your eyes from that angle coming up and see if there's a glint of mischief twinkling from betwixt that corner.
Fair enough, fair enough. All right, do you need me to get the drums, or are we good without them? I feel like we're good without them this time. You want to go with the drums? I can go get them real quick if you want to vamp.
Sure, go okay. get them. Right, grab. Go vamp. I'll vamp, because your desk is literally right there. So you can run to it. Here's me vamping. There's still people in the office, just like last time. So I got to keep this on the hush hush. I wonder what Adam and Cody, did they manage to find time to put graphics in there? Well, we'll find out together, because we'll be watching this in 2 weeks' time. Or 1 week's time. Or 2 weeks once they put their editing on, I believe. All right, you ready to do this?
Let's do it. All right. The top 10 single location movies, yeah. At number 10.
Locke.
At number 9.
Ex Machina.
At number 8.
Dog Day Afternoon.
At number 7.
Dread.
At number 6.
127 Hours.
At number 5.
Rear Window.
At number 4.
The Breakfast Club.
At number 3.
The Raid Redemption.
Number 2.
Moon.
And our number 1 single location movie is?
12 Angry Men.
12 Angry Men. And then those kids!
We've got David Mitchell Baker's list to read.
Yeah, let's do that.
And thank you again for creating this topic. It was a good one, David.
Yes,
and
it was.
We thank you for it. So he says, here's my list. I'd forgotten how many great options there were for this topic. So there were a lot of tough omissions for me personally. Too many honorable mentions to list. Man, it's the same. Mm-hmm. Hope you guys found. I hope you guys enjoyed the episode. At number 10, he's got The Lighthouse.
Oh, interesting.
It's one of the few I haven't seen that.
Yeah, either. Yeah.
9, he's got The Breakfast Club.
Yes. 9!
8 is Krisha. I don't know Krisha.
I don't know Krisha either.
K-R-I-S-H-A.
Okay.
Krisha. 7 is The Hateful Eight. I don't agree.
Yeah.
They're in the wagon for and leading up to. It's 45 minutes before they're all in there together, legitimately.
Right. And we flashback, although it is the same location.
Yeah, I'll take that. Flashback. I have no problem with that.
Okay.
But everybody, all the players don't show up to the story until 45 minutes in. That's a good point, yes. Numerous locations.
Yep.
6 is Snowpiercer. That's a great call. That is a great fucking call.
Damn it.
Birdman, I thought about. That's his 5.
Yeah, but he's in and out. Yeah, he runs around.
If you want to say it's the location is his mind,
yeah,
perhaps.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay, all
well, because right. The ending is so obtuse.
Yeah.
You can,
did you call me a...
Exactly. That's where I learned to... view it like that. Like it is.
Where's that from again?
Ill-defined. Shawshank.
That's right. Shawshank. Obtuse. By the way, shout out to Clancy Brown who's playing a great LBJ on The Crown.
Yes, he is.
Ah, damn, I like that a lot. Damn llamas.
So 5 is Birdman.
Yep.
4 is Das Boot.
Das Boot.
Which the two of us said no to. 3
yep.
is Die Hard. 2 is Rear Window. 1 mm-hmm. is 12 Angry Men.
Oh, yeah. See, good. Everyone knows it.
We've got Rear Window at 2.
Yeah.
He agrees with me on Die Hard.
Okay.
We should have had Snowpiercer.
We should have had Snowpiercer.
One of us should have had Snowpiercer. That makes my list, and I can't believe I didn't see it.
Damn it.
Do
they just start out on the train?
Yeah.
Damn.
Because the post-apocalyptic event has already happened, so this is society. This
I almost
is reality.
Feel like we should move Dog Day Afternoon off and put Snowpiercer on there. I think this could be a first for the show.
All right. I'm good with that.
We should put 127 Hours off, really, but I'll accept taking Dog Day off to put Fan. That seems more fair.
Mm. See, now they can see your body language and hear your tone.
At number 7.
Snowpiercer. Edit remix on the show.
All right, well, that's our episode for this week on the Top 10 show. Yep. I'm just going to say, if you want to, that's the single location movies. If you want to tune out now, feel free. But we're about to give a lot of love to the patrons of the show, read out their names on the show. After that, we're just going to wrap up. So if you want to hang out, feel free. If not, no worries at all.
Yeah. And this is just our thanks to every patron at $5 and up that mm-hmm. it supports us. It's a way of saying thanks aloud once a month to you solely. And we wouldn't be here without you. We wouldn't be back on video. We wouldn't be going out and doing the live dates.
Yeah.
Which I need to talk to you about the show.
Sure. Sounds good.
So you ready? You got it up in front of you?
I think so. Let me bring it up real quick. The Excel spreadsheet. Thank you to Christopher Alexakos.
Yes, Mr. Alexakos.
For compiling this for us.
Putting in the work to help us get this topic from David Mitchell Baker.
Yeah.
And also helping put together the shout outs and the relists. And the guy's hustling, posting stuff on Patreon for us every once and again.
Yeah, it's very kind.
I guess it turns out the classics that are super, super long that we did in the past exceed the amount of space that an audio file can take up at one time, a singular post.
Okay.
So you had to find a workaround for that.
Oh, wow.
I just saw it on Facebook.
Much respect.
Thank you,
Chris.
Thank you. I mean, guy is fantastic. Yep. It's amazing. We have so much great help between them and Mike Shea and Joe Ibarra, Kristen Smith and Matthew Hasso, all of them. It's amazing every time. We would not be here literally without you and the patrons. So let's just jump right in.
Let's
you ready?
Yeah. So
at 8 is AJ Barrera.
Aaron Carroll.
Aaron Hine.
Abby Lugo.
Adelardo Fuente.
Alex Ramsey.
Alex Russell.
Alexander Marzonia.
Aliyah Moore.
Ahmad Ali.
Andre Constantinesco.
Andres Mendoza.
Or Constantinesco, sorry.
Yeah, sure.
Andrew Herbs.
Andrew Hayes.
Andrew Marker.
Andrew Nally.
Andrew O'Day.
Andy Ortiz.
Andy Tan.
Angela Dashner.
Anthony Castelnova.
Anthony George.
April Rybacki.
Archie Bear.
Asa Denning.
Ashley Prowls.
Marlon Tuttle.
Ben Quirk.
Ben Archimbaugh.
Ben Cartwright.
Bernie Knapp.
Billy Gilliams.
Blair Simpson.
Blake Gant.
Blake O'Brien.
Bobby Carney.
Bobby Michael.
Brandon Caridi.
Brandon Monroe.
Brian Akins.
Cameron Belgrade.
Cameron Chapman.
Charlie McKenna.
Chelsea Lewis.
Chris Cabrera.
Chris Consiglio.
Chris Jones.
Chris Judge.
Chris Lemke.
Christopher Brockman.
Christopher McIntyre.
Christos Alexakos.
Kalei Williams.
Cody Seal.
Connor Teal.
Corey Trainer.
Corey O'Connor.
Cody Markham.
Cody Rexford.
Dale Varley.
Dan Petraglia.
Dan Somerville.
Daniel Chipfoot.
Daniel McCarty.
Darren Bush.
David Mitchell Baker. Oh, I'm sorry. David Gregson.
David Mitchell Baker.
Boom. Deborah Torres.
Dimitri Malott.
DJ Red Hot Cox.
There he is, buddy. Drew Burkhart.
Drew Enns.
Dwayne Joseph Burke.
What's up, Dwayne? Dylan Buller Dempsey.
Dylan Johnson.
Dylan Yoon.
Ed Buzkirk.
Edward Dobbins.
Ellis Machaka.
Eric Bloor.
Eric Bruin.
Eric Grebner.
Eric Stevenson.
Evan Bistrom.
Evan Zoller.
Frank Montoya.
Gareth Weldon.
Jeff Kelly.
George Menchaca.
Giancarlo Simonetta.
Grecia Romero.
Gunnar R.
Hans Eskelson.
Haley Morton.
Houston Bodily.
Ian Horner.
Ian Brick Beltran Lopez.
Ewan Williams.
Isaiah Hoffman.
Jacob Pullen.
James Appleby.
James Nost.
Yes, sir.
Oh!
Thank you so much, Dad. I wonder if you're listening as of right
shout
now.
Shout out. Thank you, Mr. Nost.
Thank you, Mr. Nost. Him and my father-in-law, they're both supporters and listeners of the show.
Thank you so much.
And he gave me guff a couple weeks ago for based on a book for not having To Kill a Mockingbird.
Oh.
And I was like, you're probably right.
That's a fair point.
You're probably right.
That's a fair point. Okay.
James Leggett.
James Petty.
James Trapani.
James Winstead.
Janvia Canizar.
Jason Bradshaw.
Jason Lau.
Jason Shrum.
Jeff Saliba.
Jen Kemp.
Jeremy Bowers.
Jeremy Metz.
JIC 317.
Jim Payne.
Jim White.
Joe Hyun Yoon.
Joe Farrelly.
Joe Ibarra.
Joey Anthony.
Johannes Schmidt.
John Dowse.
John Keefe.
Jonathan Garrow.
Jonathan Chase.
Jordan Wiltshire.
Joseph Burt Whistle.
Joseph Viola.
Joshua Stetz.
Josh Lawrence.
Josh Mabry.
Josh Murphy.
Josh Sachs.
Joshua William.
Joshua Wynn.
Juan Reyes.
Johanna Linaverta.
Julian Key.
Justin McDonald.
Justin O'Neill.
Catherine Samuels.
Keith Archer.
Keith Below.
Keith Fitzgerald.
Kayla Long or Kelly W.
Ken Reels.
Kevin Fuss.
Kristen Smith.
Yo, Christia Vesselchick.
Kristen Kurtz.
Kyle Beckworth.
Kyle Feller.
Kyle Spahn.
Laura Deverson.
Lawrence Witt.
Louis Berrigan.
Luke Allison.
Luke Larson.
Mackenzie Horner.
Magali Dore.
Mallory Garrett.
Marcel Behrman.
Marcus Davenport.
Mark Fawcett.
Mark Menchaca.
Oh, the three Menchacas. Matt Chipping.
Matt Hall.
Matt Hannigan.
Matt Simmons.
Matthew Asso.
Hey, Matthew Lee Cravens.
Matthew Pullen.
Maurice Robinson.
Michael D. Dyke.
Michael Kelly.
Michael McDade.
Michael Schmer.
Mike Barrington.
Mike Shea.
Mitchell Burrell.
Nathan Leonard.
Niall Blackie.
Nick Francis.
Nick Dornoff.
Nicholas Smith.
Nizar Alabasi.
Noel Kelleher.
Pat Bufamante.
PJ Patrick Campbell.
Patrick Mullen.
Phil Neglia.
Philip Renshaw.
Philip Lane.
Ravi Prasad.
Reagan Lovig.
Rice Seaborn.
Rob McDonald.
Robert Francesco Sorace.
Robert Haley.
Rodrigo Valverde III.
Roque Orellana.
Ruben Enriquez.
Ryan Ambrandos.
Ryan McKenna.
Ryan Nem.
Scott Lynch.
Yeah. Scott Zarnicki.
Scott Collar.
Seamus Braytag.
Sean Scott.
Seth Shearer.
Shane Noble.
Simon Brouillard.
Spencer Freightway.
Stacy Flores.
Steve Schluckebeyer.
Steven Anderson.
Steven Armstrong.
Sujayan Fernando.
The Blast from Our Past podcast.
Nice. The Sin of Oz. Thank you, Steve.
Thomas Price.
Thorsten Amvoller.
Tim Begg.
Tim Franco.
Tim Reimert.
Timothy Berg.
Timothy R. Williams.
Todd Whitkey.
Wayne Murphy.
Victor Whiskey-Alund.
Interesting. That's Wiley Todd.
Will Morse.
Willie Logie.
Giggleson or Exerion.
And finally, the one and only Mr. Zach Butts.
Zach Butts.
Our thanks to each and every one of you that supports the show. We can't thank you enough. We would not be here without all of your, goodwill, intentions.
Yeah.
Your actions, everything. We can't thank you enough.
It means a lot.
It does. It means the world.
Yeah. And, absolutely.
Yeah, all the interaction that we get at facebook.com/groups/top10show, people posting healthy tons of debate about what comes up on the show, people debating the debates we had of whether or not a movie should be included or discluded.
Yeah,
it's interesting to see and get like an idea of what general consensus is.
The double bill one is a massive battle. I'm enjoying it.
It goes back and forth. Some people agree with this. Some people agree with that. Yeah, arguments are heard.
Yeah.
Nobody's
– nothing's tabled.
And nothing is, terrible.
Yeah.
It's like, that's fine. You're entitled to your opinion.
Exactly.
I kind of view it like this.
It's enjoyment of these debates.
Yeah. And then as the people that know each other, they kind of break each other's balls because they understand. They have a language between them.
Right.
And they don't spread it out to, if I don't know you as well. At least I don't see that as often.
Mm-hmm.
But there, for me, at Matt Nost on Twitter, MattNost, and tons of debate there about the show.
Absolutely. You can follow me at The Roka Says on Twitter and on Instagram. See all the things I'm doing there as well. And we've got so much more stuff coming down the pike. If you are discovering us for the first time here on Collider, the Collider Live YouTube feed, or on the Collider Live feed, podcast feed, I encourage you to go back and listen to our other episodes, listen to our other stuff. And if you want to become a patron, feel free. www.patreon.com/the top 10, number 10 there. Go and see the multiple tiers that we have there. But just come along. Follow both of us. Follow us on our Twitter as well, at Top 10 Show. All of that. Get involved and come with us. And trust me, you won't regret it.
Yeah. And Top 10 Show is all spelled out, as is the Facebook group when you put it in the groups. And then we try and use the number 10 everywhere else.
Yeah.
But, sometimes people beat us to the punch.
It wasn't an original idea.
So, it wasn't. Yeah. And we're more than – it's not like we should sue. This other person for having the exact same thought long before we did. First off, we need to get David Letterman.
Oh, right.
In retirement. And retroactively go back the idea of.
That'd be the greatest thing ever if we get David Letterman on the show. Almost impossible, but it'd be the greatest thing ever.
Almost. I would say with a guaranteed certainty, 99.9% impossible. There is a chance. There's always
a
chance.
We'd have to go to Indiana, I imagine.
I think he lives in Montana.
Oh, Montana.
I don't know, maybe it's upstate New York or something.
All right.
But
either way, we'd have to find out.
Pretty sure he's got a big piece of property, and he chills out there.
Never say never, man. You never know.
Yeah. I'm with you. Never say never.
Never say never.
I love Fievel. What is the fucking – never say never again. Then they went west. Fievel goes west. An American Tale?
Yes.
Is that what it's called? American Tale.
American Tale.
The fucking Wish Upon a Star.
Yeah.
That movie when I was a kid.
That James Ingram song. That's right, yeah.
There are no cats in America. I love that movie as a kid.
Clearly.
Saw it in the theater, I think, more than once. Uh-huh. And had the VHS when it came out and was excited for Fievel Goes West. And I liked it.
Yeah, yeah.
At that time, I liked it, but knew it wasn't as good as the first. And I couldn't tell you last time. But I've seen that movie a lot. Like that, Land Before Time.
Oh, yeah. People love that Land Before Time stuff.
That first one?
Don Bluth, yeah.
I've seen that so many times.
Wow. Okay.
The ones after that, maybe one or two here or there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because it took them a while, for the second one to come out.
It's a different window, like you said about Breakfast Club. That's your kind
I was still a kid.
To me, I was too old for it.
Yeah, I was like 7 or something when that came out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Littlefoot and his mom, and
she
dies, and this fucking leaf in a puddle. And
oh, my God. Stop it. You're ruining for the new generation.
It's fine.
Okay.
That's pretty early on.
Yeah, okay. In the movie, you mean?
Yes.
Oh, okay, okay. Fair enough.
He loses his mom.
It's not like Bambi.
It's a Bambi thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's in the beginning. Well, I'm glad they didn't show that for Bambi. That'd be a little more traumatizing.
Mom? Anyway, all right. Well.
There it is, guys. We're closing on that. You already in it? Thank you so much, everybody, that tuned into the Top 10 this week, and especially on Collider. If you can't find us and you're listening, you find us, just go to the Collider Live feed wherever it's at, and you can find the show there. And the video comes out a week after our show comes out, and that comes out on Tuesdays for our patron members.
Right. We should explain that. Yeah. If you're a patron member, you will get the video on the day of that the audio drops. Everybody gets the audio when it drops.
Yes.
No matter what feed. If you're subscribing to the Collider Live feed or subscribe to our top 10 feed, you get the audio the day it drops. But the video is reserved for patrons. Was it $20 and above?
$10 and above.
They get the video a week ahead of time after that. Yeah. You all get the – and we're dropping them on Saturdays from what I understand currently at Collider, and then maybe that'll adjust to Fridays. But for right now, look for the video on Friday, on Saturday. So, yeah.
But it's there for you, on Monday. First thing, if you don't have anything to watch, when you tune it up, you're like, I like to watch things at work. Because some people tape on Sundays for release on Monday, but Monday's kind of a slower day.
Yeah.
So, hey, check us out on Monday. Let us know.
What's going on?
Yeah. Love to see, or have this discussion then. If you guys are just getting to it, hit us up. Hey, I just watched this. Really good, blah, blah, blah. Or how didn't you have this? And sometimes it's like, I don't know, that's not a triple build me because of X, Y, and Z, but I understand your points. It's a healthy conversation. But that is it this week for the Top 10 Show.
We're almost at 4,000 views on the first episode.
That's not bad because it dropped out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere. We have almost 4,000 views it was 2 days ago as we're recording this.
Yeah.
So that's pretty incredible. So keep coming aboard, ladies and gentlemen. All right, we'll talk to you next time. That's Matt Nost. I'm John Roca on the Top 10 Show. Take care.
Adios. Napa Know
How. This month, Napa's got all kinds of motor oil deals that can save you some serious cash. Like a 5-quart jug of Napa Full Synthetic Motor Oil for just $16.49. With savings like that, you may start feeling like a VIP. But don't let it go to your head. These oil deals are for everyone. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
General States pricing. Sales prices not include applicable state local taxes or recycling fees. Offer ends 8/31/20.
What's up? It's Kevin Hart. And with new rewards from Chase Freedom Unlimited, I now earn even more cash back, even on a beach getaway. I earn 3% of drugstores on beach snacks. These chips have some saying on them. I earn 3% on dining, including takeout, after a seagull eats all my chips. And I earn 5% on travel purchased through Chase, like a hotel room to hide from that seagull. Learn more at chasefreedom.com. Chase, make more of what's yours.
Account subject to credit approval. Restrictions, limitations apply. Offer subject to change. Cards are issued by JPMorgan Chase Bank, N.A. member FDIC.